This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hello and welcome to Father Lala's confession booth, and today we are doing your confessions. We're checking how many sinners I've got in my inbox, and we're also going to do is it a red flag, and of course Friday night reminders. Fridays are the day where I'm trying to be, like, you know, a bit lighter, make you laugh a bit more, not be so serious all the time. Although sometimes I don't think I think I'm just a really dark person. So let's see what our confessions are for today. The first one says, being a stepmom sucks. You know, you're allowed to feel like that. You are allowed to feel like that. And I've never had any experience of being a stepmom. My son is being raised by, not being raised by a stepmom, he's been raised by me, but he does have a stepmom. And I can definitely see how conflicting and complicated and nuanced and difficult, but also wonderful that relationship can be. There's so many learning curves, I think, for stepmoms, especially stepmoms who don't have, or stepparents who don't have children of their own. I think that can be quite a big thing to have to deal with. Suddenly being this person who's with the kid's dad and not quite their mum. So always knowing that there's these kind of boundaries and barriers in place. But I can totally understand why being a stepmom must feel like it sucks. Especially, you know, when you get, this is why I never wanted to date men with children before I had a child, because I could never understand those men putting their children before me. I understand it now that I'm a mum, but before that I was a bit like, oh, boring, he's got his kids this weekend, why isn't he seeing me, this, how dare he, you know. I've obviously grown up a lot since then, but I would not have wanted to be a stepmom back then. So I understand it. I think that it's important for you to acknowledge those feelings, but I also think that it's really super important for you to consider whether that feeling of being a stepmom being crap is in any way apparent to those children, or if you feel like you don't like those children. If you don't like those children, get out now, or that child, or that. If you think being a stepmom sucks because I hate this fucking kid, get out. Get out, leave the dad, move on, find a new relationship, because that kid will feel that. That kid will know, and that's not okay. It's not acceptable. And that's not for you to be judged. Sometimes some kids are really hard to love. That's just facts. But it is your responsibility to not put that kid in that situation. It is your responsibility to be the grown up and say, you know what, being a stepmom sucks. I don't like any of this. I'm going to cut my losses and run. If being a stepmom sucking is impacting on the kids in any way, go. Make a better decision. But if being a stepmom sucks, but it's all love and everything's wonderful and they all love you, but you've just got your kind of feelings of, you know, inadequacy or jealousy or whatever, then maybe that's stuff that you can work through if your relationship is strong enough. But also, if you don't want to be a stepmom, don't be one. Get out. Go. I know it's easier said than done, but yeah, I'm glad you confessed that one. Talk about it. Don't sit there like, you know, feeling ashamed or embarrassed about it. None of us have anything to feel ashamed or embarrassed about unless we're actually harming or hurting people actively, which is why, as I say, if you are, is there any emotional abuse coming into this whatsoever, get the fuck out, even if it's unintentional. But apart from that, talk to people, find other stepmoms to talk to, figure out, there's loads of forums online. You can speak to people about how they got through the difficult times. But there we go. Thank you for your confession. The next one says, I've been playing around via DM with other men other than my husband, and I feel really awful but super aroused. Ugh. Well, I think you need to think about how you would feel if your husband was playing around via DM with other women. And I think also you should think about the communication that you've got going on with your husband. Because you know that feeling of arousal, it's very strong. I totally understand that feeling of arousal. You know that, like, I'm really enjoying this. This is like my fanny's throbbing in ways that it hasn't done for years. Like being kind of addicted to that feeling of like, oh, this is such a turn on. Even though, and maybe the fact that you are sort of slightly betraying him is part of the turn on, I don't know. But you made a commitment to that man. You made a monogamous, I guess, I wasn't at your wedding, but I'm imagining that you made vows to each other about monogamy. And that doing this is something that could potentially really hurt him and really harm your marriage. But you also have the right to continue to feel that arousal, and that's what you should be feeling. As a human, it is really important for you to be getting those sexual needs met. So I guess for you now, rather than just continuing down this vein until you get caught, what you need to do is take control of your life. What you want is that feeling of arousal. What you don't want is to be fucking over your husband and disrespecting him and betraying him in that way. So where can you find that middle ground? Where can you get that arousal without betraying? Can you get some therapy, specifically sex therapy, with your husband? Can you join Beducated or one of those things that I go on about all the time? Can you do something? Could you bring other people into your relationship? Could you open up your relationship? Could you have a conversation with your husband around changing things so that you continue to get that arousal without having to hurt him? And if you can't, then maybe your marriage is over anyway. And maybe that's what you need to do. Release both of yourselves so that you can play around without feeling awful, without really hurting him. But can you save the marriage but add more arousal to it? I don't know. But you've got a lot to think about. And I think communication and therapy are the keys. But I would not encourage you continuing to do this, because you would not want it being done to you. And you have to give out what you want to get back. And the last one says, I sexted my boss. That's all we've got. I sexted my boss. I need context. If it's I sexted my married boss, yeah, then you need to wash away your sins, babe. If it's I sexted my totally single boss who was also sexting me, then I don't think you've got anything. You've not got any sins to be forgiven. But I think you do need to think about where this might lead you, you know, because it can be all sexy and enthralling and arousing and like, oh my God, yeah, sexy texting my boss. But does that leave you open to problems at work? Does that lead you open to not getting the next promotion because your boss feels like, oh, like something weird has happened here? Does this lead you to getting the next promotion based solely on your sexual relationship with the boss? Does this leave you in a position where you're vulnerable to being fired because he suddenly gets paranoid that you're, do you know what I'm saying? He, what a fucking patriarchal twat I am, that I'm immediately assuming that the boss is a man. But I just caught myself in that. Not even once did it occur to me that the boss could be a woman. And that is, says a lot about the state of the world, doesn't it? But let's assume that this is some man. I don't even know where I was going with there until I suddenly had the awful realisation that actually I am a misogynist. But anyway, all I'm saying is sexting your boss is something that could deeply affect your career. And I don't think it's something that you need to confess or feel like it's a confession unless you are actively helping your boss to betray their partner. But I do think you need to be really careful about where it could go. Because sexting your boss seems all fun and games at the beginning, but then a year down the line when you've been called up to HR by your colleague who's figured it all out, the fun wears off. So be careful. Okay, let's move on to, is it a red flag? Where you basically ask me if something's a red flag and I'll tell you what I think about it. Hi guys, it's me and I'm here to tell you about another Sony Music Entertainment podcast. Now, I know you all like to have a deeper look and get under the skin of a subject. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me deconstructing hot topics and getting into the nitty-gritty with all your dating dilemmas. So I think you're going to love getting curious with the fabulous Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Every week, they deep dive into conversations with a variety of experts on some really, really important and eye or ear opening topics like the history of abortion and the science of sleep. Get excited, get curious, and listen to Getting Curious wherever you get your podcasts. Our first Is It a Red Flag says, is it a red flag that my boyfriend told me he got me something, but then I found out it was actually previously owned by his ex? Oh, I want to know how you found that out. Did he actually admit it to you? Or was it like a conversation on the phone where he was like, I got you something, when you come round, you'll be really happy. And then he's giving you a pair of GHD straighteners that are not in a box. And you're like, where have these come from? And he's like, oh, they're my exes. Was it like that? I don't know. Because I think it's less of a red flag if he's been immediately truthful. Like, if he said, I've got you something, made out that he's bought it new, and then you found out through other means that actually this was previously owned by the ex, then I think it's a bit of a red flag. Because there's some lies going on there too. And it's a bit cheap and a bit thoughtless, a bit rude and a bit disrespectful. But not a major red flag. We're not saying like, red flag, run for abuse. But definitely flaggy for being a bit of a twat. But if he's been truthful, like, hey, I got you something. Oh, and then actually this was my ex's. Less of a red flag because there is truth there. Maybe he's just being, you know, economic and financially sensible. What's the point in buying another one if he's got a spare one there and it just happened to be owned by his ex? So, I certainly don't necessarily think it's a red flag. Well, it depends. Again, you know, I was just thinking, depends what it is. Depends what it is. Because what if it's like her favourite t-shirt and he wants you to wear it because it reminds him of her or something? I don't know. I feel like only you will know if it's a red flag based on what it was and what the context was. I don't think it's an outright red flag for anyone who gives something of their exes to their new partner. That's not a red flag in itself. It's the context. So tell me the context and I'll tell you if it's a red flag. The next one says, is it a red flag if he sexually treats me like I do porn? Yes, that is a red flag. It is a red flag for many things, actually. It's a red flag for not prioritizing you, or not even prioritizing, not even acknowledging or making room for or accommodating your needs in bed, because he's treating you like you do porn. There's this expectation that you're this screaming, sexy banshee who's, you know, bending over in all positions, willing to do whatever. But has there been any discussion about whether that's the kind of sex that you like, whether that's the kind of sex that gets you off? And I wish I had more information here about what treating you like you do porn is, because I'm just assuming that it's just kind of what we see in mainstream porn, just treating you like you are toy to masturbate with, basically. That's what happens in a lot of mainstream porn. So yes, red flag if there's been no communication between the two of you. To act like a porn star in bed, that's fine if you've both said, that's what we're doing for role play tonight because I really love that, or whatever. So it sounds to me like he's just got this expectation that you are a porn star, that it's nothing to do with your pleasure or your needs. And of course, that is a red flag. Now, it might be a red flag that he totally disrespects you. He doesn't give a shit about you. And in which case, huge red flag. Of course, you have to go. But the only way in which there is some nuance here is if he's young and inexperienced and that's all he knows. Now, I'm not giving any excuses there either, because actually you should know better. But there are a lot of young men who have been completely educated and indoctrinated by porn, and that's all they know. That's all the sex education that they've ever had. So when they're getting into the bedroom with girls and women, that's what they're bringing to the scenario. They don't know that there's any other choice. So the only way in which it's not a red flag is if it's that. And if you two are able to healthily communicate about actually what your needs are in bed and your expectations and how you can move it away from that mainstream porn style jackhammering. And if he's then open to having his mind expanded and probably blown away by all the different possibilities that there are within sex, ethical porn, consensual, gentle, kind, lovemaking, with a heavy dose of communication. If he's totally up for that and it's all been because of naivety, then it's not necessarily a red flag. If he's not that, then yes, it is a red flag. And you don't need to behave like you do porn. You do not need to do that. That's something I did for many years. I never had orgasms because I was in bed continuously thinking about what I would look like as a porn star, how I could bring the most pornified sex to this bedroom. And so sex was never, ever good for me because it was all about him. And you don't need to be subjected to that. You don't need to do that. You're not inadequate if you don't offer that in the bedroom. So you can establish if this is a red flag. If it's the latter, I'd get out of this relationship immediately. You don't have to be treated like that. And our final is it a red flag for today says, is it a red flag? We've been together for 2 months. And when I told him that my grandma died, he said, man, that sucks. We don't know if it's a red flag because I don't know this man. And I think that if this is like, if hopefully he's not like 16, because I don't know how, well, maybe if you're 16, fine. If he's like 16, then going, man, that sucks when your nan dies, that is quite a reasonable thing for a 16-year-old to do because they don't know what else to say. It's very hard when when there is death to know what to say. Even me, big 42-year-old mother and social worker, I still struggle to find the words of like, fuck, I'm so sorry to hear that. So actually, if he's quite a young kid, he hasn't really lived yet, then I completely get that. He might have just not known what the hell to say to you, been a bit overwhelmed by the information. But for a grown adult, I wouldn't say it was a red flag, but I would say it's a bit of a pink flag that his communication and emotional intelligence is a bit underdeveloped. And if that's all he said, like, man, that sucks. Right, let's get on with our day. That's a bit of a red flag because he's not acknowledging your pain. He's not asking you how you feel. He's not trying to communicate, you know, care for you through your grief. He doesn't give a shit. If it's, man, that sucks, but like, what can I do for you? I'm there for you. I'm supportive of you. Then that's not a red flag. It's just the words that came out of his mouth that weren't really very well thought about. So again, it's all the behavior around it. Man, that sucks, coupled with shit, lack of consideration for you, is definitely a red flag. Man, that sucks, surrounded by kindness and thoughtful behaviour, is not a red flag. That's what I think. What do you lot think? I always love it when you come and talk to me about the podcasts and you give me your views on the confessions and that, is it a red flag? Let me know your thoughts. So we're done for the day, but I am, of course, going to leave you with a Friday night reminder. And today's Friday night reminder. You know what? I keep seeing things on Instagram that make me go like, oh, that is a good reminder. And then I go back to look for them and I can't find the exact thing that I found. But anyway, the quote went something like this. That person who makes you feel constant anxiety and anguish is not your soulmate. And I think that sounds so obvious, doesn't it? Like, obviously, your soulmate is not that person who is ignoring you for 2 days, not answering your messages, making you feel really anxious, apart from when you're with them and then you get like one great 24-hour period and then they're off making you feel like complete shit again. It seems really obvious that that's not your soulmate, love, like, move on. But when you're in it, and especially if you're limerent, your brain will tell you, your brain will search for so much hidden meaning. Your brain will search for signs. Within that awful behavior, your brain will pick up on one little nugget of something that they've said, which could just be one sentence, which is so basic, but you'll ignore all the other crap behavior and you'll focus on that one sentence that gives you hope that actually maybe this person is really into you and maybe they really are your soulmate. But they are not. If you are feeling anxiety, anguish, stress, confusion, not knowing what's going on from one week to the next, that isn't your soulmate. You will know you found one of your soulmates, because I think we have several, when you feel calm, when the energy is reciprocated, when you feel that just you've got stability and you've got normality and you've got communication and you've got someone who wants you as much as you want them. It is never going to be that anxiety provoking person. So stop chasing after them.
La la la, let me explain.
This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.